Welcome to the podcast To Be Named Later, where we explore the world a conversation at a time. Sit back and enjoy. Here are your hosts, Chris and Kelly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast To Be Named Later. I'm Kelly, back in Wisconsin, and Chris told me he's here and just returned from Hollywood. So, Chris, I assume I should be getting that contract, just like Travis and Jason Kelce. You must have lined us up for at least $100 million.
Yeah, it's in the works, Kelly, so just stand by. If you just wait by your mailbox, buddy.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. You talked about wanting some new audio equipment, so, hey, man, I'll look forward to bringing this up to the next level.
Yeah, I'm in too, bud. Let's do it.
All right. Welcome, Chris. I know we saw each other last week out at our family fantasy football draft. Great to catch up with you, obviously, there. Had lots of fun. We'll talk a little bit about that. And let's jump in.
To you, by the way, Mr. Ford. I want to give you your due. So it's, I don't know if it's 10, 12 years in the making or whatever, but you know, you showed up with a plan to the fantasy draft and you actually implemented your plan and you stuck to it and you walked away with a pretty good team. So, you know, nice work, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Yeah, I set my budget and I know I stuck to it this year. Chris would tell you every day before the draft, we usually have a little chat and I tell him, oh, I got this plan. And then I get in the heat of the moment and get a little carried away, spend a little much on early players, but
that was my role this year. I mean, I had to shut it down in the middle rounds because I do not like being the $1 guy at the end, and then you got to nominate your guy, and then listen to one guy say $2, and then now you got to sit and wait for, you know, seven more nominations, and then just hope like hell the next guy you nominate is you can have that everyone will let you have them, and you know, and then got to listen to all the BS in between, and so yeah, I do everything in my power to not be a $1 guy for too long, right? Everyone ends up there in the end, but I don't want it to be an hour, man. So I blew a bunch of money early on Patrick Mahomes and Christian McCaffrey, and then I just had to sit there quiet for quite a while.
Yeah, I think I was the first guy to have a fully drafted team, if memory serves. So that was kind of a nice feeling.
Yeah, you did great, man. Your team looks real solid, and you know, yeah, I'm just want to let you know I'm proud of you, man. You made a plan, and you stuck to it, and didn't get caught up in the heat of the moment. I mean, it's exciting in auction drafts in general. You know, it's fast and furious, and it's easy to get, you know, caught up and kind of lose track. In fairness, you do in the past, you know, sometimes have track things too. And I know as a guy who's like putting the stickers on the board and tracking the money and stuff, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep track of what you're doing yourself, you know, and trying to like, hey, man, how do I want to budget my team? You know, I mean, I kind of came in with a tentative plan as well, but, you know, let me relook at things. But, you know, in the moment, it's, you know, it all happens so fast. Sometimes it's hard to go and kind of hit the reset button. Like, all right, let's see where I am now. You know, I know I came in with a plan to start with, but I'm not sure if I'm on course or not.
Yeah, and for podcast listeners, Chris obviously doesn't listen to all the episodes of the podcast because he missed the one last week that I recorded by myself, showing how I use my spreadsheet and Excel tracker that I built and have shared with people. So, Chris, you got to always pay attention to that podcast feed, man.
Yeah, sneak attacked me, man. Yeah, I'll have to go back and check it out.
No, fantasy football is one of those things for us. You know, we do it with our family members. It's really turning into a great weekend. It's always been a good weekend, but it's going from good to great. One family member's got a really nice place on a lake, turning into kind of one of those destination weekends. Hopefully we can keep it going for a while. I always look forward to it as an adult. It's like Christmas for me, to be honest, in that I don't need presents. Well, you know, I hopefully draft some good ones for myself, but it's really more about the togetherness and just hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way, Kelly. You know, I mean, I everybody likes Christmas, right? I mean, you know, for sure. But, you know, at this point, and I imagine it's the same for you, at this point in my life, it's you don't get that exciting, like, anxious feeling, like, oh, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. You know, it's, you know, we go through our lives, and a lot of, you know, adulthood is responsibilities and have to's, you know, and it's just like, well, this is what's next on the schedule. This is, I got to go to work, I got to do this, I got to do that, whatever. So the opportunities that you had as a child to get excited about something, get excited about, you know, a fishing trip, or get excited about a ball game, or get excited about Christmas or your birthday, and that, you know, that you just get that, you know, that feeling you have, the anticipatory feeling that you have as something, an event approaches, and you're just like kind of giddy on the inside. And you know, as an adult, I notice I don't get that feeling quite as often, but in the couple of days leading up to, you know, the travel out to your brother's house, I'm just giddy, man. Like, I can't wait. I cannot wait to get on the plane. I can't wait to see everybody. Like, I'm genuinely excited, like true, honest excitement about the whole thing. And then, you know, every year, year after year, it never lets down, man. I mean, we, you know, it's just a great weekend, man, that for me is the highlight of my year most years.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Speaking of highlights and anticipation, if you already got us that $100 million, maybe we can go for like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman money as well. And we're gonna, Chris, put you a little bit more on the spot, because why not? I had an interesting thing baseball last night. I kept hearing headlines about Shohei Ohtani's dog throughout the first pitch at a ball game, and last I knew, dogs couldn't throw a ball. So. Love to have you. We won't have sound for this, copyright reasons and all the rest. But, Chris, could you take us through a little play-by-play of what Shohei Ohtani's dog actually did?
Yeah, I'm going to get – this will be my very first attempt at a play-by-play. But, you know, you did give me a heads up as we hooked up on here and got the headphones on and started chatting before you hit recording. So I did pull up the video on you know, on YouTube, and I got it in front of me. I got the sound pulled down, but I'll give you, I'll see if I can walk you through what takes place, and give it my my first ever attempt at a play-by-play, and it's a dog throwing out the first pitch. So I got a long ways to go, bud. All right, you ready?
You betcha.
All right, let's fire this up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today we have a special treat for you today. It's going to be a puppy pitcher on the mound. Shohei Ohtani has met with this puppy, and here we go. The puppy runs the ball down the field to the 10, to the 20, to the 15, and it's a perfect strike right down the middle. High fives all around. Ohtani with the catch, and the dog with the treat. So puppy grabs the ball and you know, just beelines it for Ohtani, who's playing catcher under this circumstance. And yeah, all in all, I would say it was straight as an arrow, man. Puppy's got some got a future in him.
So that's pretty wild, man. The dog was taken out to the mound, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Tony carried him out there. You know, and I mean, imagine the poise that this dog has. I mean, there's, you know, 60,000 people all hollering and stuff, and I mean, stadium's giant, and he stayed focused throughout, Kelly. I mean, I'm telling you, dude, he was there about business, had a job to get done, and the puppy took care of business.
Hey, man, new angle for that dog. If, you know, Shohei Ohtani runs out of money, he can be the guy that takes the balls out to the players. Although my hunch is he carried it in his mouth, so there's something about that saliva on the balls the umpires don't tend to like. But
foreign substance. Maybe, yeah, it was we'll pretty cute, dude. A pretty cool moment, I imagine, for, you know, for Shohei. And pretty, you know, an experience the dog will never forget, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have more power to the Dodgers organization and whoever else came up with that. A little bit of fun, and why not? And really, I know, I do think about that. I mean, just the training, even if it was in an empty stadium, but now do that with, like you said, you know, 50, 60,000 yelling people. It had to be quite the thing.
Yeah, hey, shout out to all you dog owners out there, man. It just shows, put the time in with your dog. You know, don't. You know, they're not just in the corner. You don't just feed them every day, man. You got to spend some time with them. And you know, you can just tell the dog was so happy to have, you know, done this with him. And I'm sure they spent plenty of time practicing ahead of time and stuff. So, yeah, if you got an animal, spend time with that animal, or don't get one in the first place.
Yeah, so, you know, practice is really over for college football. They've been practicing all summer, a little summer. Had a season week zero, as they like to call it, of really, for me, what I've been looking forward to for many years, for certain, as long as we've been doing this podcast, and more of a playoff, 12-team playoff. You know, week zero happened last week. What are you excited about or looking forward to in college football, Chris?
Well, I mean, just the entirety of the season, Kelly. So, you know, man, I mean, you know, 12 teams are going to make it. You know, you can slip up early. And, you know, the route they've been going for a while now is, you know, schedule the big games. You know, get somebody on your schedule from another conference that's legit. You know what I mean? Don't just go play all the Southwest Louisiana Techs of the world. You know, get a Georgia on there. And even if you lose, if you have a good showing, you know, we'll still give you credit for that. And now with the expansion to 12, you know, my hope is more and more, well, you're not going to have a whole lot of choice but to play in a big conference school because, you know, we're going to be down to four total conferences at some point, the rate we're going. You know, going to be 64 teams in each conference. But, yeah, I'm just jazzed, man. I mean, college football is, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, you know, I love the NFL and I love fantasy football. And, you know, obviously the NFL is the pinnacle of what these guys can get to. But for me, from just a raw sports standpoint, college football has always been right at the top for me. It's my favorite, man. And, you know, you get an opportunity to see people from different regions of the country and, you know, different offensive schemes and defensive schemes. And, you know, just the, you know, it's generally about a 12, 13 week, you know, well, with buys and stuff, maybe just a hair longer. But, you know, it's just exciting, man. Every game matters so much. And, you know, there's a lot of filler in there. I mean, there's a lot of Division I schools, but there's also just about every week, you know, some type of marquee matchup. And for me, I just absolutely love college football, man. And you get everything you could want as a sports fan out of it over the course of a season.
Yeah, I am really surprised by a few things and looking forward to some things. I can't recall a time, and it just, I guess, reflects the nature of how sports goes today, but, you know, there might have been, but it doesn't jump immediately to memory where the head coaches of the two national championship teams were gone 1 year later. You know, Washington's head coach down in Alabama and Michigan's is down in your neck of the woods, coach in San Diego. That's a change. See how those teams can respond. And then looking forward, still bummed to see the end of what had been a premier conference in many college sports, the Pac-12. I guess technically it's the Pac-2 maybe, Wazoo and Oregon State. But I will be curious to see how some of these Big Ten teams fare now with the bigger conference. And I still think college might need to work on its math because the Big Ten is now 18 teams. But I don't know, when I learned
to
count.
Is that Midwest education, bud?
I don't know, man. It's something, dude, because when I learned to count, 10 was 10. And, like, I didn't get to, if I wrote 10 equal, you know, 10 is 18, that usually would have got me a bad score on the math test. But that's that new math, you know?
Yeah, complicated.
Really curious to see, though, a lot of changes, you know, both in TV coverage, conference alignment, and more. And without fail, every weekend in college football, there's good stories. And as you said, the exciting thing about the larger playoff is, you know, I hope it continues to encourage teams to schedule those big games without fear of, you know, you lose that first game. We saw that happen last week for a team that, you know, wasn't expected to lose. But it doesn't tank your whole season or opportunity. You know, 12 is better than 4. So we're heading in the right direction.
Oh, for sure. Florida State, you know, lost to Georgia Tech, I believe it was, right? And in years past, that'd be the end of them. Now, Florida State's in a hole, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be an uphill climb for them, and it's going to be, and rightfully so. But, you know, they're not dead, man. I mean, you know, you can go and win the ACC still, so and get your shot. But in years past, you know, like especially, you know, when it was just two teams, that's it. Your season's over. Week one, you're done. So I don't care if you go win the ACC. Someone else, you know, two other teams are going to, you know, get an edge over you, right? But now, you know, Florida State is in a hole, absolutely, like I said, but, you know, they're not done. I mean, you just don't get another slip up. You use yours on week one, and even then they may need some help along the way. But I just like the fact that, you know, you're going to have teams who, you know, stub their toe early on. But heading into, you know, December, you know, those teams sometimes are hot fire now, you know, QB change, or, you know, they finally settle into the new scheme that's running there, or whatever the case may be. And now with the setup being what it is, you know, there's going to be some teams that catch fire late that otherwise would not have had an opportunity to compete for a national championship because they stubbed their toe early. And now I think there will be a couple that, you know, you might not want to face at all in the college football playoff. You know, they might even have two losses. And historically, that would just eliminate you entirely. But now, and maybe not so much. And that team with two losses, you know, they might have started 1-2. And then they rambled off, you know, 10 straight. And, you know, may not want to face that team, you know, come playoff time.
It will be also interesting to see where, I mean, it's been going, again, got no problems with it, but the whole NIL and transfer portal, I mean, it's like open season for players moving around. It's always been that way for coaches, as we just talked about, the coaches of the two national championship teams last year. But a lot of player movement, first of all, and then I don't know. It's, you know, not always easy to find the money. I read somewhere that Ohio State's team might be a $20 million salary.
Yeah, I read that too. And, hey, man, there's always been haves and have-nots, you know. And so, you know, it is what it is. You know the stakes. You know where you're at. And the kids do as well. So, you know, I like the free market. I like the ability for a backup quarterback who's not going to, you know, get an opportunity at this place. Now, I never believe in quitting, or I never believe in taking – I have a lot of respect for the guys who suck it up and continue to grind as well. But, you know, everywhere else, you know, if I don't like what Target has to offer, I can go to Walmart. If I don't like, you know, Starbucks coffee, I can go to Dutch Bros or somewhere else, right? You know what I mean? Like, we have choices, and I don't see why it would be any different for college football. And yeah, the movement's crazy though, because I mean, you could see the talent in some of these kids, right? But then to project it into a whole new school, a whole new offense, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, this guy might have looked great at Oklahoma, but you know, when he goes to Ohio State, is he still going to be the same guy? You know what I mean? Well, I don't know. You know what I mean? The weight room's different. The coaches are different. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of movement in a 19 or 20 year old kid's life. All of a sudden, are they going to adjust to that? You know? And yeah, I think it's exciting though for me. I'm excited to see what happens.
I'm excited to see how it plays out. I think that, you know, I don't think we're done with any of this as to how it plays out in the long term, meaning we will see, you know, a lot of movement like this, but at some point I think a little more stability will return. But I don't have a problem with the way it is, because to be clear, I mean, if you're playing at most Division I level schools, I mean, and you're a upper level player, You have goals of playing at the next level on Sundays. And if you're, you know, buried on the depth chart at the number three quarterback at some place like Alabama or wherever, you know, you might never get a shot to start. And, you know, that limits your opportunities to go to the next level. And frankly, the number three quarterback at one school is probably still better than the starter at 50 of them. So, you know, there's things to be sorted out here with the finances and everything else and the haves and the have-nots and all of that. But I think that for the players itself, this is largely a positive. And, you know, so looking forward to it. And after this weekend, we'll have a little more information. I know my Wisconsin Badgers open up tomorrow night, just down the road at Camp Randall. didn't do as well as I'd hoped last year. Lost one of their power running backs, now playing for the Jets in Braylon Allen. So really just curious to see how they come out, along with everybody else. And I am really also, like I said, curious how some of these Pac-12, former Pac-12 teams do in Big Ten, teams like Washington, Oregon, UCLA, and USC. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, I know at least historically, you know, the Pac-10, Pac-12 has always been a little more high-flying. You know, not much emphasis put on defense. I mean, it wasn't quite the Big 12, but you know, and when you get in the Big 10, man, that's a lot more smash mouth, man. You know, they got a little more beef on both sides of the line. You know, weather games are more a factor, and I'm curious myself, man. I mean, you know, now, you know, SC, Oregon, I mean, you know, Washington, these are legitimate programs. You know, they've been you know, at or near the top of the college football landscape for many decades, so it's not, we know they can compete, but you know, on a week in, week out basis, you know, let's see, you know, what you guys look like here in this new conference. So it's definitely a different style of play, man.
So yeah, it'll be not a total wake-up call, because I mean, some of those Pac-12 schools did go to places like Washington State, where there was a winter, but gotta wonder how those young men from, say, UCLA or USC come about November are going to look forward to showing up at Camp Randall or the Horseshoe in Columbus, you know, Penn State or another winter destination. Going to be like, really?
Yeah, I mean, I laugh because I have spent winters in Washington State, and I've spent, you know, winters in Wisconsin. Those two winters are not the same thing.
Yeah, I definitely. So really going to be interesting for that whole scheduling also with basketball. Again, same deal. You know, Monday night at home at campus out in Los Angeles, you know, nice 80-degree late January day. You get on the plane, show up. Because I've done that back in the Midwest, and it's 20 below. I've often, at family gatherings, I've told the story of coming back to Wisconsin once for a Christmas. Amy and I were living in Washington State, but we had gone down to California for Christmas, and sitting in one of my brother's driveways on your dad's motorcycle, just chilling, at about 8 in the morning, and it was 85 degrees, and got off the airplane later that day in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and it was 20 below.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, those are the big ones, and then, you know, a couple of Big 12 teams that are historically really solid programs. You know, you're moving to the SEC. I mean, that's big boy football out there, man. And I know you guys have been, you know, kings of your league for a long time, and you know, played in national championship games or playoff games and all of that. But, you know, you got to go through the rigors of, you know, Georgia and Alabama and you know, make your way through LSU and on, man. I mean, that's, you know, there's not a single cupcake, you know, on your schedule if you're playing in the SEC. So I'm kind of curious how those guys hold up, man. You've only had to get up for two or three games a year in the past. Now you got to get up for eight straight weeks, you know.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, hey, be careful what you ask for, because you might get it.
Yeah.
Speaking of be careful what you ask for, you know, some guys last April asked to be drafted, and they were. And I always think about this time of year, just the amount, and it happens in all sports leagues, but the amount of turnover in the NFL in both two ways. First of all, you know, Monday, if you will, most teams had 90 players on their roster. Come Tuesday, you know, they had to be down to 53. It's just an awful lot of people whose dreams just ended. Now, a little bit comes back, because by the end of Wednesday, you know, they can have a practice squad of up to 16. So there's both that, you know, hey, I was drafted by whoever back in April, or I signed a free agent contract and I've been part of that team for 4 or 5 months, you know, put every bit of work in I could, but, you know, then that dream ends. And then just also, even if we go to the draft, I mean, right? I mean, the math is there. If they're drafting 7 new guys, 7 guys at minimum are probably leaving a team in some way. Just think about that a lot. Independent of the play on the field, just the human life-changing events on all sides of that is, you know, kind of the untold stories of the NFL. And I get it, play on the field, but just that. And so that's a way of, I guess, transitioning us over to the NFL at least a little bit in another week, actually a week from tonight. First game kicks off, and then next night Packers are down in Brazil playing the Eagles. So any initial thoughts on the NFL?
Oh, I mean, just that I'm ready, man. I mean, it's, you know, my off season's done. Let's go. I've been, you know, got my fantasy teams all in place, and, you know, kind of have some notions of how I think various teams are going to do, you know, and some teams that I think are going to be better than expected or worse than expected, and you know, or there's so many questions, man. Like you said, there's all the turnover, you know, and not just players, man, coaching staff. I mean, you know, it's just you know, every year truly is a brand new season, and you know, the chemistry of a team is always altered to some degree, you know, however little or much that might be. And you know, we're speculating that Kirk Cousins is healthy. We're speculating that Aaron Rodgers is healthy. We're speculating that the Steelers are going to be a winning, you know, football franchise, because they always are. You know, all these things are just speculations at this point. You know, we're using previous information and whatever data we have to make a guess. But, you know, at some point they're going to, you know, very soon they're going to put it on a field, and then, you know, we'll start to know whether we were right or not. You know, is Josh Allen, you know what I mean? He lost, you know, his two top wide receivers and 80% of the end zone targets, and on and on and on. Can he work with anything? You know, we'll see. You know, there's just so many questions, you know, and a lot of young Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, you know, Bo Nix, all, you know, rookie starting quarterbacks. Mayo said that Drake May is going to sit, which I really appreciate that of them. And sounds like they were very honest, you know, and, you know, weren't afraid to say, like, look, man, our offensive line is terrible. And, you know, I was listening to Good Morning Football this morning, and they were talking that, you know, Drake May won the starting job, but then the offensive line lost it for him, you know, and I think what the Patriots are doing with him is a smart move. But, you know, some of these other guys, you know, like I said, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, you're in right away, and there's high expectations for you right away. There is no learning curve. We expect you to perform right now. And, you know, then there's other guys too, like Will Levis and, you know, guys that, you know, are still young. I mean, you know, he's got a year of football under his belt, but, you know, he's still a very young guy. And then, you know, you got guys. So
You want to talk about high expectations. I'm not sure there's any higher expectations than on the guy just a couple hours up the road at 1265 Lombardi.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just fully expected that, like, hey, you know, the last 9 games of the season last year, that's who you are. And, you know.
And you were paid like that.
Correct. And so, well, he's not the only one. A lot of people got a bunch of money. But, yeah, he you know, he's got nine good weeks under his belt, you know, but he finished with a trajectory that looked really promising. And then he got a grip of money, you know, and we had this discussion at the draft over the course of the weekend and stuff. And, you know, my stance is pretty simple. Like, this is what it is, man. You know, you want to buy a coffee at Starbucks, you know, it's $5, dude. You know, you want to make your own coffee at home? Cool. But, you know, this the market dictates, right? So, If you want a quarterback, you got to pay that kind of money. That's what they cost.
We had this conversation offline, but we, you know, we have it here too, because, like, it is like you know, unless you can get that rookie quarterback on, you know, even a first round money, you know, which is, you know, over 4 years, I think about $32 million. Like the salary for a quarterback is what it is in the NFL. And do you want to have a chance at that or not? And like going with something that doesn't have that, you know, you got little to no chance. So you got to pay. That's what you got to pay to play. And hopefully you make the best choices. I think the other thing that I'm, you know, had this discussion, but what's fascinating to me is how, you know, I know we've said this in different ways and it's not my original quote, but you can't even find 32 guys who can play starting quarterback in the NFL effectively.
Is that a question?
It's a question or comment, either one.
No, you can't. I mean, we see it every year. There aren't 32. So, you know, there's always going to be the Zach Wilsons and the Drew Locks and the guys who, you know, Desmond Ridders and the guys who just can't do it, man. You know, and you know, each year it's going to turn over, and those teams who didn't pay Jordan Love, you know, $220 million, they're good luck. You know, it is what it is, dude. Like, you know, I mean, you're paying an obscene amount of money on a hope. But the other side of it is, you know, look what the Washington Redskins have had to deal with, and look, you know, what the Atlanta Falcons have had to deal with, and just, you know, go team by team by team who don't have a quarterback. You can't win. So I get that if you spit, you know, give someone $55 million a year, you also might not be able to win. But short of, like you said, when Russell Wilson was on his rookie deal, or when, you know, Lamar Jackson was on his rookie deal, or, you know, those guys, you know, Patrick Mahomes, right? You know, there's a couple out there that you can get lucky and, you know, put a team around and they're good right from go. But most of the time, you know, it takes 3 years before the guy even gets to a point that you can even see what he is. And by that point, it's time to, you know, pay the money or let him walk. And, yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, but I don't know how you fix it, man. It is what it is. Like I said, the NFL's not hurting for money at all. And we all know quarterbacks, you know, drive the bus, man. It's what it is. So the Packers are in that spot. I think they're lucky to have found Love. I think they have as good a shot as anybody on hitting on the quarterback that they have in their building, but it certainly is no guarantee by any means, man.
Yeah, I think that, you know, just when you break it down and just think about, you know, really the combination of cognitive ability, physical ability, and leadership traits to do this well, you know, it really is a rare combination. Sports is always interesting in, you could say that about acting or anything, where, you know, when you find that elite group of people who can do something amazingly well, just how scarce that talent can be. You know, probably, you know, who knows what the total number is, but probably find, you know, a fair number of guys, put them, you know, line them up and say, hey, go tell me what this defense is going to do. You know, what would you change a play to in the 1.5 seconds or whatever they have from the, you know. But now you got to say, okay, but now I also need you to have the physical traits to throw the ball or do all those other things. And then the leadership abilities to exude confidence and get really 10 other guys to look to you and believe in you 100% that no matter what's happening, you know, you're the magician that's going to make it happen. And so that is why I think, you know, you could probably take any certain jobs and break that down, but I'd say quarterback is one where it is of people that can do the combination of tasks for a sports position, definitely one of the smallest populations. I mean, just look at baseball, and you know, you can probably find more people that can, again, we're talking very small numbers, but people that can be a starting pitcher is probably more than can play quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, agreed. And, you know, you can find more hockey centers or shooting guards or, you know, you know NASCAR drivers or whatever, man. You can go through the list. Any given week, you know, about 150 golfers show up for a tournament. And, yeah, I mean, in the NFL, you got, like, on a given year, you got, like, 20 to 25 who can do it competently.
And I'd argue you probably have, you know, about 8 that can do it every year at an elite level.
Correct. Yep. Everyone's looking for those guys. Everyone's looking for Patrick Mahomes, man. Everyone, and even if it's not Patrick Mahomes, they're looking for Dak Prescott. You know, give me a guy who can do this, you know, and you know, reasonably well. Everyone's going to make mistakes. Everyone's going to throw interceptions. You know, I mean, there's going to be, you know, things here and there. But just, you know, who can do it, you know, generally effectively at a consistent level. And, yeah, you're talking, yeah, I mean, it's you know, probably under 20 human beings on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of figure about 25% of the league at any given point, you know, can do it at an elite level. Then, you know, probably half the league, I mean, can do it at a functional level. Again, functional in the NFL is pretty high function. And then there's another 8 or a quarter or so, you know, the only reason they're starting is because the team doesn't have anybody else, but they're immediate candidates for a replacement. And I want to be clear. Even those guys, I mean, obviously they're elite talents in a way, but it's the nature of such a business. And so,
yeah, and that's why they get $55 million a year, like you said. I mean, you know, Tom Cruise gets a lot of money. You know, Hugh Jackman gets a lot of money. Taylor Swift gets a lot of money to sing. You know what I mean? These guys are, you know, these are rare talents. They're, you know, elite at what they do. And, yeah, you get paid for that.
So speaking of getting paid, it's early on, but predictions, Chris, on who's getting paid at the end of the year, Super Bowl? What are you looking for to come out of each? You know, I know when we were young and boisterous on this podcast, we went division by division. We probably won't do that, but what are you looking for? Who are going to just ask today? Who do you think are going to be, you know, the leaders of? I mean, your top 2 or 3 teams out of each division. What are you looking for?
Well, I mean, you know,
I should say.
I wish I could, you know, go out on some limbs here, and I wish, you know, I had some hot takes for you, Kelly. But you know, the teams that I like this year heading in. I mean, I got a couple. I wouldn't say they're dark horses to win a Super Bowl, but a couple of teams that I think are being or have potential to be. Better than what other people seem to think that they're going to be. Like the Tennessee Titans, I think, are a team that, you know, if things break well for them, I feel like they could be significantly better than what the masses seem to think of them. The Chicago Bears, I think, can be really good. There's a cut, but if you're talking like who do I like to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be the usual suspects, man. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the San Francisco 49ers. The Lions are right there. You know, the Bengals are all health-related and, you know, personnel on the field. If they are at full strength, they're right there with anybody, but they haven't shown the ability to be at full strength. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase ain't even, like, practicing, so, and Joe Burrow's coming off a, far as I know, a surgery that no one's ever had done at the quarterback position ever. So, you know, those are the teams, man. I mean, you know, until the king is dethroned, dude. I mean, I don't know how you don't go with the Chiefs. I mean, they're just the most dominant team. I mean, they're the new New England Patriots, man. I mean, they win every year, or they're in the hunt, you know, every year. So, you know, if I'm picking a team, I'm picking the Chiefs, man. I mean, they're 2-time defending champions. So, you know, I wish I could come in with some hot take. I mean, obviously, I'm hopeful on the Packers. You know, if they can continue to build on what they had going at the end of last year, then, I mean, they're right there, man. I mean, they gave the 49ers all they wanted. They went in and whooped on Dallas and, you know, went to San Francisco and came up short. But, man, they were right in that fight. I mean, they were equally matched with them, you know. So, you know, obviously the Packers are one I'm hopeful about. But, yeah, dude, I mean, I wouldn't have a whole lot of variations, man. You know, the Ravens are going to be right there, the Lions. You know, the Ravens and the Chiefs, I would say, in the AFC are probably my two front runners. They're built top to bottom, have the experience, been there. And then in the NFC, I'd probably take the Lions and the 49ers. Eagles are, I wouldn't call them a dark horse, but, they're a team that it seemed like they gave up last year. They just quit. And it wasn't because they didn't have enough talent. You know, they have all they need in terms of talent on that team. I mean, they've shown that. They've been in a Super Bowl recently. And so, you know, they have what they need. But like I said, last year just seemed like they just quit for whatever reason. And I don't know why, but if they can stay motivated and put it together. I mean, losing Kelce is a big loss. But, you know, the rest of the pieces are all there, man. And so they're another team that, you know, should be in contention. I mean, you know how it is, dude. At the end of the season with 3 weeks to go, they start coming out with all the math equations. And if they win out, they're in. If they win and the Bengals lose, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, there's going to be 12 teams in each conference that have a path to the playoffs. But right now, you know, pre-week one, if you're asking me to pick teams, I mean, those are probably the ones I'd pick, man. And like I said, I wish I could go out on a limb and give you some hot take about, you know, this upstart. But in reality, man, I genuinely believe the teams that were good last year are just going to be good again this year. How about you, man? What's your thoughts?
Sadly, I don't, you know, I could make up a hot take myself, but this year, as much as any, I don't have one, because just looking at what teams have done, what they haven't done, who they've drafted, I don't see any reason to think right now why in the AFC the Chiefs, won't be back where they are. If I had to say anything, I do think that the time in the sun for Buffalo might be waning, but I'm not sure there's anybody else in that division that's going to really jump ahead of them. But I just think that maybe their, you know, window, as they want to use the term, is closed a little bit. NFC, you know, San Francisco, just before we started recording, got a news alert that they resolved their contract, and I didn't catch the numbers, but with Brandon Ayuk, they did sign him, I think I heard, a four-year contract. So, you know, that's one of the distractions, not both as a distraction.
120, that's what he got, 4 years, 120.
That's about the going rate for that position. So that's resolved, so now they've locked that up. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be one of the elites, you know. Yeah, my heart's with the Packers. If anything, they've got – the one thing they've got is, yes, they're young, but, you know, they've got a pretty good young and relatively inexpensive wide receiver core. So I'm curious to see how that comes out, really curious to see, you know, nothing too original, but how Jordan Love comes back this second year. And then I'm really curious also to see what happens with Detroit. You know, if you go back to some of our podcast episodes, I've always been this guy that's all over Detroit saying, you know, their coach is really got them motivated and they want to play for him. I still think that's true. We'll see how that shakes out. I guess I'm more curious to see how certain stories play out. Really curious what's going to happen in Minnesota. I mean, you talk about a team that went from first to worst almost in the course of a year. Yes, they've got Justin Jefferson, but, you know, they lost their good quarterback, and then one of their draft picks, you know, McCarthy got hurt. He's out for the year. I don't know that Sam Darnold's really all that. So we're going to, you know, I'm really curious to see, like, what happens there. I'm also immensely curious because I really think the jury's out here what Caleb Williams does in Chicago. You know, it's that age-old, does what he was able to show in college, transferred to the NFL, and... How do you respond to being the guy? I really got to believe. I really think for a lot of people, you know, that it's an awful lot of pressure. I don't care how much skill you have to be the guy as a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anyone's, you know, geared for that, I think Caleb Williams has as good a shot as anybody. The kid does not lack confidence in any capacity. So, you know, I don't know him personally, but my understanding is he's an incredibly hard worker. He absolutely loves football. It's infectious, you know, a little bit of that kind of, you know, Brett Favre, you know, if you will. I mean, you know, Favre was obviously one of a kind, but, you know, that like, hey, man, I just love being here. I'm so happy to be at work today, and that can be really infectious. Now, yeah, there'll be learning curves. I mean, you know, you're not going to come in, you know, as a rookie and lead your team to, you know, a 16-1 record or something, dude. But, you know, if anyone has a chance, I think he's the guy. The Bears have equipped him with what, you know, he needs. I mean, he's got they locked up DJ Moore for a long-term deal. I think Keenan Allen's likely just kind of a 1 or 2 year, you know, rental at the tail end of his career, but I think he should have a great impact on Roma Dunze and that wide receiver room. And I think that I mean, I'll go on record. I think Caleb Williams is going to play great this year. Now, you know, mistake free. No, Patrick Mahomes, absolutely not. You know, Josh Allen, you know, absolutely not. You know what I mean? Like that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I think he'll be, you know, pretty close to as advertised, man. You know, and he'll stub his toe from time to time. I mean, the guys in the NFL are quite a bit faster than the guys, you know, playing for Oregon State, bro. So, you know, he'll learn that and you know, have to make adjustments along the way. But I think he will be successful right away.
Yeah, I'm curious. I you know, obviously emotionally and fan-wise, I'm no Bears fan. As a football guy or fan or interest, I am curious and want to see what happens. I think that, you know, they've really given him the tools to have success. I think that, you know, yeah, I think that one of the great things they did, yeah, he might be at the end of his career, but getting Keenan Allen there for him, I mean, it's just, you know, one of those just guys you can trust.
Yeah, 100%. I think what they have in place for him is as good as anyone could hope for. So it's not very often. I mean, you know, the Bears fell backwards into that pick. You know what I mean? They were not a first overall pick kind of team. You know, the New England Patriots are a first overall pick kind of team. Last year, the Carolina Panthers were a first overall pick kind of team, and that's whose pick they got. So, you know, through moves they made the year previously, you know, when Carolina moved up for you know, Bryce Young, that's how they fell backwards into this. But Caleb Williams is not going – as the first overall pick, he is not going to a situation that most first overall picks go to, man. So, you know, I mean, like I said, I don't expect him to come in and win an MVP or anything, dude. Like, but I do think he will be successful right away. I do not believe he's going to fall on his face. I think he's, you know, he'll have some bumps in the road and, you know, you know, we'll have some challenges throughout the season, and he'll learn and develop and, you know, have to work at some things, you know. But I think he is, you know, I think he's going to be able to handle it just fine. I'll tell you the ones that I'm more curious about, you know. I mean, you know, I love to see what's going to happen with, you know, Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and all that stuff. But the ones, you know, I love what happened for Geno Smith in Seattle. And he's come back down to earth a little bit. I think sometimes expectations dictate, you know, perception and results a little bit. And, you know, when a guy like Geno Smith goes to a new location, it's kind of like Sam Darnold going to Minnesota. There's no expectations. You know, I think we know what Sam Darnold is. He's not that good. Well, we thought the same thing about Geno Smith, and then he went and revitalized his career, got a fat contract. You know what I mean? You know, it's just a great story. And you look at Sam Darnold in Minnesota. You look at Gardner Minshew in Las Vegas. You know, these guys that we think we know what they are. And many, many times, you know, the Marcus Mariotas of the world and the Josh McCowns and the, you know, the kind of the retread, you know, they always got a job, but they're never the answer, right, kind of guys. Well, every once in a while, like Geno Smith showed us, or Baker Mayfield last year in Tampa Bay showed us, like, hey, man, I know you guys all wrote me off. You all thought I was done, but I didn't. And, you know, look, man, I had a year. I revitalized my career. I can be the guy, you know. And I'm wondering if one of these guys, like the Gardner Minshews and the Sam Darnolds of the world, maybe revitalize their career. You know, maybe not. Maybe none of them work out, or you know, it's probably not going to be all of them, right? But maybe one of them does. Maybe Sam Darnold shows something, and you know, he's got all the tools in the world to work with. You know, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson. I mean, dude, you got Aaron Jones coming out of the backfield. I mean, it's, you know, Hockenson's out for a little while, but he'll be back eventually, and you know. For a dude to try and revitalize his career, it's not like the cupboard's bare in terms of weapons for him.
Yeah, no, it's again, if you've got a chance, there is that opportunity. I'm sure, you know, likely one of these guys will do something, and that's, you know, the other piece of the NFL. Looking forward to the first week, like I said, a week from tonight, we'll game should be kicking off.
Well,
so.
And this year should be pretty interesting, too. I know we probably got to cut loose here pretty quick, but the NFL's not, you know, they're taking full advantage of a seven-day week, dude. So, you know, you look at the schedule this year, and that's one thing that I think you even made mention of it is man, there are there's no shortage of games scattered throughout the week, man. So, we got, you know, Monday games always, Sunday games always, you know, Thursday games always. We got Friday games. We got Wednesday games. You know what I mean? It's, you know, Tuesday's like the only day they don't play football, I think, dude. So
yeah, no, it's unreal. I think I think really because, you know, they're getting people to pay them for it. I mean, Netflix paid them whatever they paid them to, you know, show two games on Christmas. So, and I believe that's a Wednesday. I don't know that there's a Tuesday game this year, but there are games every other day of the week, at least one. So
yeah, I think Tuesday's the only day that as we go through the 18-week NFL season, there I don't believe there are any games scheduled for Tuesday. But who knows, man? Lightning shows up somewhere, and you know they postpone and play tomorrow. That we may have it, but there are scheduled games. You know, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Throughout the year, you know, scattered about. I mean, it's not every week by any means.
Yeah, no, but they, you know, for whatever they have figured out, basically about as close to either how to print money or have a money tree in your backyard.
Well, and I think it's funny that player safety is paramount to all things, and you know that's our priority. And you know, there's 10 teams, I believe. I could be misspeaking here, but it's something like this. There's 10 teams that play 3 games within 10 days, and I've never played NFL football before, but I can tell you this. There is a reason why there are 7 days in between games. So, you know, Monday morning when those guys wake up, they don't think they're ever going to walk again. And, you know, they go through their training, and, you know, obviously they have the best equipment and the best staff and all the latest and greatest in, you know, assistance, but in terms of training and stuff. But, you know, then Tuesday they start to loosen up, and Wednesday it's like, well, I think I'm going to survive. And then Thursday it's like, you know what, I think I can do it. I think I could play again. And then Friday it's like, yeah, I'm good. I can practice today. And all right, do the walkthrough on Saturday and play again on Sunday. And then you wake up Monday morning thinking you're never going to walk again. And you just do that. So the fact that the NFL slammed 10 teams with 3 games in 10 days, man, that's not that considerate for player safety at all, dude. You know what I mean? My leg's still purple. You know, from last game. I mean, you know, the human body, unless you're the Wolverine, dude, it don't heal like that, man. You know, like I said, there's a reason that they take a week in between games. You know, it's not basketball, man. It's not baseball. You can't just show up the next day and do it again, dude. Like the toll it takes on a human body to do what these guys do is as difficult as anything in all of sports, right? So, the NFL. You know, it's funny they care until the check arrives, and then player safety, you know, takes a back seat to the money.
Yeah, I you know, and we don't have time in this episode to get into that. It is, I enjoy football, and it's one of those interesting dilemmas as a sports fan. You know, I like to think about things, and I definitely don't like that aspect, and, you know, I guess at some level we could all ask, is it okay for people to put themselves through that for our entertainment?
Well, I guess. Believe me, Kelly, if I got, so, you know, we all make choices like that, buddy. I mean, it's well documented that I work in roofing. On occasion, throughout the year, I put my body through a really, rough couple of days sometimes, with elements and travel and, the labor associated with my job. And I do not get a $55 million contract for what I do. So, these guys know what they're signing up for, and I don't feel bad at all. You've made your choice, and you are very well compensated the same way, someone out on an oil rig or someone on a fishing vessel or some, there's lots of jobs out there where you're putting yourself at risk for money. And these guys know damn well what they're signing up for. So I, as a fan, I don't have one ounce of guilt about that. You are very handsomely compensated for what you're doing, and you don't like it, man. There's plenty. Amazon needs delivery drivers, bud.
And I wouldn't say that I have guilt. It's just one of those things that I think about. And there are guys that have walked away and said, "No, I'm not going to do that." I remember a few years ago, former Wisconsin Badger Chris Borland was a high draft pick and walked away from the NFL after I think one or two years.
Yeah, so. Andrew Luck walked away. I mean, this is an option available to you, man. You don't have to be here. So there's 150 people lined up waiting to take your spot. So, NFL is kind of the controlling body and stuff. And, it's just a little bit, they're a little politician sometimes, They kind of talk out of both sides of their mouths a little bit. And, it is what it is. I mean, I think it's the – one of the greatest sports in the world, and I love it, man, and I'll take as much of it as I could get.
Well, hopefully our audience will continue taking as much of the podcast to be named later as they can get for this week. We're about at our closing. I'll just say I'm still waiting for that check. I would have thought the FedEx man would have been interrupting me while we were recording this, but that didn't happen, so... if you need to, Chris, get back down to Hollywood and work on that $100 million. Let's become buds with Travis and Jason Kelsey. But in all seriousness, it's always good to catch up with you. And thanks for this, again, thoughtful conversation.
Yeah, always enjoy it, Kelly. Thanks, man.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to another episode of the podcast to be named later.